Sunday morning, May 21st. I wasn't here last week. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Happy Mother's Day to all those who have put up with all the mothers. Sometimes it's easier than other times, but that's fine. God is at work, and we give praise and thanks for that. As Deb and I were on vacation last week, we had a good time away. Very grateful for Pastor David Phelps stepping in and covering for us. Grateful for God's blessings. Grateful for His provision. And as God knits hearts together, we see changes and we see growth. And I thank the Lord for that. So those of you with a bulletin, which those of you on the tape obviously don't have, I told Deb that I wanted to do treasure hunting. So like the good yard sailor she is, picture on the front of the bulletin is a table at a yard sale. But it's a really fitting thing. As I talk about treasure hunting, you know, the old saying, one person's trash is another person's treasure. We see people that go out and, you know, talk about how they found something at a yard sale for 25 cents and it sold for a couple hundred thousand dollars. That has not happened to me. What? Ugly paintings is the trick. Deb says ugly paintings are the trick. Ugly paintings are worth money. Not worth my money. Not if I can. Well, I don't know. At any rate. If you've ever been yard sailing and Deb's there, it's really, truly amazing to watch because Deb is one of those bargainers. I am not a haggler. Deb is. So I'm like, and she's always trying to get me to do it. Go ask him if he'll take this for it. I'm like, you know what? That's not me. Don't try to make me you, okay? That's not going to work. If you want to go do that, go right ahead. But treasure hunting. In Matthew 13, beginning with verse 44, says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. There are things that are worth more than other things. We sang the song earlier, Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like these things that are worth laying down all of our other treasures. Whether it be a treasure in the field that you go and sell all that you have to buy the field, or the pearl of great price, selling all that you have to buy that pearl. Sometimes things are hidden. Sometimes they're out in the open. But oftentimes things are hidden. If you've ever seen a raw, uncut diamond, you probably wouldn't pick it up if you didn't know what you were doing. Kind of cloudy. Looks not much different than a quartz. Like, okay, yeah, it's cute, but No, that's worth millions and millions. No. But that things that we go looking for, things that are treasures. In Psalm 19, beginning with verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And we read that passage, and so many times we just go past it. So many times we just glimpse past it. Let's do it a little slower. In fact, let's do it in the message. Really mess with you. It's not up there, so you're going to have to listen. Verse 7 says, in the New King James, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. In the message, it says, the revelation of God is whole and pulls our lives together. Getting to know who God is puts us on solid ground and gives us a footing and gives us a foundation. Pulls our lives together. Back to the New King James. The testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise the simple. Switching back to the message. The signposts of God are clear and point the right road. God directs us. We get to know who God is and God directs us. Verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. In the message, the life maps of God are right, showing the way to joy. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. In the message, the directions of God are plain and easy on the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. God's reputation is 24 karat gold with a lifetime guarantee. Get to know who God is. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The decisions of God are accurate down to the nth degree. So many times we breeze past things. How many times have we read this scripture and never dug into it? Getting to know who God is sets us on a path. Jesus said, we just read it back in Matthew, that the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in the field, which when a person found it, hid it, and went and sold everything he had to go and buy that field. Or the kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price, and the person was out looking, and when he found it, he went and sold everything that he had to go and purchase that pearl. Now, yeah, okay, I'm going to say it. Back a few years ago, as the economy was doing some flip-flops and getting all scary for people, you'd hear, actually even now you hear on the radio, oh, go out and get some gold. My dad asked me about it. He said, son, do you think I ought to do that? And I said, here's my thought on it. Gold has the value that somebody's willing to pay for it. Period. Today, if they're willing to pay this, that's what it's worth. Tomorrow, if they're willing to pay three times that, that's what it's worth. But if you're getting it just to say, well, you know, it's never worth nothing, if nobody's willing to pay for it, what's it worth? So I said, you know, I'm not big into things that have no value other than what somebody's willing to pay for it. Taking a look at this verse, the pearl of great price. A merchant seeking beautiful pearls who had found one pearl of great price, and when he found it, he went and sold everything that he had and bought it. Because there are things that we treasure. It's referring to the kingdom of heaven. There are things that we put more value on than other things. So how often do we find ourselves, me first, how often do we find ourselves getting so involved in the things of this world that we slack on the things of God? Where are we putting our value? as we focus on the things of the here and now and take our eyes off the things of eternity, we are being disobedient to Scripture. But because of the way we're built, because of who we are, because of the fact that it is natural to pay attention to the normal things. That's why the Bible says that the carnal man is at enmity with God. The carnal man is in conflict with the things of God. Because we get so focused on the here and now and take our mind off those things that really matter. The good news is, by the time I'm done, you're going to understand what I'm saying. That's the good news, okay? Because I'm going to babble a little bit. I tend to do that sometimes. Verse 10 in Psalm 19 says, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb." And in the Message, it says, "God's word is better than a diamond, better than a diamond set between emeralds. You'll like it better than strawberries in spring, better than red ripe strawberries." Ooh, those are good. God's word is precious. God's word is valuable. God's word is important to our lives. Going on, Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 43. Jesus talking says, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of your heart the mouth speaks." And I don't know about you, but this is one of those verses that convicts me. Because I don't always say good things. I try, but I don't always do it. It's like, how can you be two? Another scripture very close by says, "Out of the same spring does not come bitter and fresh water, bitter and sweet water." Like, how do these things happen? We need God to change us regularly and completely. The good news is that we just read back in Psalm 19, God's word will make those changes in us. In Matthew 6, beginning with verse 19, Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in or steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, or where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, if you go back to the verse we just read, talking about the good treasure in your heart will bring forth good things, and the evil treasure in your heart will bring forth evil things. If we set our thoughts, we set our minds on the things of heaven, Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be." As we focus more and more and more on the things of God, God changes our heart. As we focus more and more, God works in us. Works that good in us. God continues to change us from glory to glory. We read these things and we say, "I don't understand. How can I be a child of God? How can I be washed by the blood of the Lamb? How can I have a renewed mind? How can I be like Jesus and have so much wickedness in my heart? Am I the only one who ever..." Actually, I have a... one of my cousins posted something on Facebook yesterday, day before. And it was a quote from somebody else. It's like, how can somebody who goes to church and tries to do the right thing all the time sometimes have such wicked thoughts? It's like, each and every one of us goes through that. We got the devil speaking in our ear. We got our flesh speaking in our ear. We got society talking to us all the time. The Isaiah said, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. It's all around us. You turn on the television and it used to be there were seven words you could never say on TV, and I think they're down to about three of them that they'll get in trouble for now. As it just continues, the society continues to slide. Things that were expected when we were growing up. Contents, actions of behavior, standards of behavior that were expected when we were growing up have seemed to go by the wayside. What was considered acceptable in polite society when we were growing up, and we're all within a few years of the same age, had just seemed to have just dwindled away. As the world gets worse and worse and worse, yet that pearl of great price, that thing that's important as we go through Scripture, we find those things we can grab a hold to. Because even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of the problems that we face, even in the midst of the society, God's Word never changes. Jeremiah 1, beginning with verse 4, says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Now here, I'm the first one to tell you, God has not ordained me to be a prophet to the nations. But if I take a look at the first part of that verse, and knowing that each and every one of us is loved by God, each and every one of us is formed by God. God has a plan and purpose for each and every one. I can look at that verse and say, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And I don't have to worry about it. God knows who I am. Before you were born, I sanctified you. God has been at work in my life, in your life, since before we were born. We talked about a couple of times about how we can go back and look and see how God has been at work in different situations in different people's lives. When you run through the genealogy of Jesus, you find Rahab the harlot is in the genealogy of Jesus. You find that Judah's daughter-in-law, Tamar, I think it's Tamar, is that right? Judah's daughter-in-law, at any rate, Judah's daughter-in-law, the one that was married to his son, and then the son died, and then the second son didn't want to go in and raise up seed, so God smote him, and he said, wait till your other brother is old enough, and then he'll be your wife. And when that happened, when he got old enough, he did not become the wife. Or she did not become his wife. So she said, this is not right, and pretended to be a harlot and slept with her father-in-law. She's in the genealogy of Jesus. Ruth, the Moabitess, is in the genealogy of Jesus. All of these people. If you look in the genealogy, I believe it's in Matthew, you'll find it as you're looking. This goes through looking. It doesn't give the whole story there. But in the genealogy of Jesus, as you read that, you find these people who were, by normal standards, complete outcasts. David. Here we have a murderer. Here we have an adulterer. In the genealogy of Jesus. Tamar. Somebody told me once I had a mind like a steel trap. I didn't realize they meant it was sprung shut, but some things I remember and some things I don't. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. And we start looking back over our past. Looking back at what God has done to get us to where we are right here today. God is still directing our steps. God has a plan. I don't know about you. That's something I can grab a hold to. Doesn't matter how bad the situation is. Doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't even matter how bad I sin. God still loves me. I still have forgiveness in Jesus' name. Paul said, does that mean we should go sin? Absolutely not. That's not what it means. What it means is we cannot let it hold us back from what God has called us to do. We have to seek His face. We have to draw close, and we're going to get to that in a minute. In Lamentations 3, still Jeremiah, by the way. Lamentations 3, beginning with verse 21. He says, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. I tell people, and they look at me kind of funny when I say, everything short of burning in hell is the tender mercies of God. God hasn't given us what we deserved. I don't know about you, I've been wicked in my life. I've been mean. I've been vindictive. But God had a plan. God has a plan for each and every one of us. It is through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Praise God. God's mercies are new every morning. Every day is a new day to seek God's face. Every day is a new opportunity. And we're talking about seeking, treasure hunting. We're talking about seeking those things that can get us through and get us strength and get us guidance. Finding those little scriptures. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Whew, there's a good one. There's a good one. You are bought with a price. We are a new creation, a holy priesthood, a chosen generation. Grab onto those scriptures. Grab onto those things. Find in the Word of God that God loves you. And He's drawing you to Himself. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in Him. God is my reward. God is all that I need. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. The good that one should hope. It is good that one should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It says in Micah, what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? These things we can grab a hold to. First John 1, beginning with verse 5. John says, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. God's word tells us that our sin is covered by the blood of the Lamb. When we come before the throne of grace, we come boldly because we come in the righteousness of Jesus. Because He has paid the price. And not only paid the price for our sin, but imparted to us His righteousness. Lord, continue to change me. Lord, continue to lead me. Remember David? We talked about him a minute ago. How he was an adulterer and a murderer. In Psalm 51, beginning with verse 1, we're not going to do the whole Psalm 51. There's a lot of different sections in it. But in Psalm 51, David is crying out. This is long before the birth of Jesus, obviously. But he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. David knew what Jeremiah knew. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, for his compassions fail not. David knew what John would tell us later. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to cleanse, to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. David is a man after God's own heart. Even when he messed up horribly, did such wicked things, he said, Lord, forgive me. I don't know about you. As we go through this life, as we face the difficulties that we face, as we come across the obstacles, as we see the wickedness in our own heart, remember I said that we're being purified as gold and silver are being purified. That means sometimes the pressure gets turned up and the heat gets turned up and the nasty stuff we thought was out comes bubbling to the surface. And we find ourselves like my cousin. How can a person who has worked so hard and so long trying to do what is right sometimes have such wicked thoughts? How can a person who's going through their life trying to be an example, trying to be a blessing, trying to be good, all of a sudden one day just say something that's so mean? I do it. I try not to. But there are times. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. John said it. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now we're going to go back to that Psalm 19 in the message. And I'm going to read verses 7 through 14. The revelation of God is whole and pulls our lives together. The signposts of God are clear and point out the right road. The life maps of God are right, showing the way to joy. The directions of God are plain and easy on the eyes. God's reputation is 24 karat gold with a lifetime guarantee. The decisions of God are accurate down to the nth degree. God's word is better than a diamond, better than a diamond set between emeralds. You'll like it better than strawberries in spring, better than red ripe strawberries. There's more. God's word warns us of danger and directs us to hidden treasure. Otherwise, how could we find our way? Or know when we play the fool? Clean the slate, God, so that we can start the day fresh. Keep me from stupid sins, from thinking I can take over your work. Then I can start this day sun-washed, scrubbed clean of the grime of sin. These are the words in my mouth. These are what I chew on and pray. Accept them when I place them on the altar. O God, my altar rock. God, priest of my altar. God working in us to cleanse us, to change us. I don't know about you. That's the treasure hunting I want to do. Getting to know the Word of God and getting those treasures, those people call them nuggets, little nuggets of Scripture, little things that just pierce our heart, little things that just catch our attention to show God's grace and God's love and God's mercy. That I don't come before God in my own righteousness. I come before God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ because of what He's done. And I can say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Lord, continue to change me. Father, wash me from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. Pour out your love upon me. and pour out your love through me. Farther on in Psalm 51, as David is praying, he says, Lord, if you'll do this, then I will teach others your ways. I will show transgressors your ways. I will be a witness of your grace and your mercy. I will tell other people about how wonderful you are. I said before, it says in James that God works in us to make us trophies, to make us examples of His grace and His mercy. Paul says, look to yourselves, brethren, how not many rich, how not many famous, how not many honorable are called, but God chooses the base things. God chooses the simple things. God chooses the poor things and poor people in life to show His grace to the world around us. Praise God. If we were perfect without God, what use would it be? God told Paul, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And we don't use that as an excuse or that as a justification for sin or a justification for being weak. But on the same token, we don't use our failures and our shortcomings as an excuse for not doing the things of God. God has called us to show forth His love and show forth His grace to the people around us. As we search the Scripture for God, God is dusting us off and making us His treasures, His examples, His trophies. I don't know about you, but that is such a blessing in my life. Father, we do come before you and thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your tender mercies. We thank you, Father, for your guidance. We thank you, Lord, that we can come boldly before your throne. We can reach through go through your scriptures and find those nuggets, find those treasures, find those things that just pierce our heart and give us ground to stand on. We thank you, Father, that your word is pure, enlightening the heart. Father, that your word is a signpost to us and a direction to us. You give us the way to live. And not only given us the way to live, Father, you also, Father, address how to keep going when we fall. So, Lord, we give you the glory and praise in that. And thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.